I have a title for this today, what I want to share. It's called The Place, the Face, and the Case. Never come up with a title before. Let's see if it works. In this instance, I just want to talk about the place. You have to tune in to the homily from 9 o'clock to hear about the face. Jesus is always going up a mountain in Matthew's gospel. One of the first times we hear it is about chapter 5, where he goes up to the mountain and teaches. He sits down as Moses and teaches the disciples. He's tempted on a mountain. He goes up to the mountain to pray. He's always going up to this mountain, it seems like. And it's not just that he has a little hideaway there, you know, where he can get away by himself, a little hermitage or anything like that. He's, here's a way of looking at that. He's claiming for God, for the reign of God, a place that has really two faces. One is the face of, it's the place where Moses went to commune with God for 40 days. It's the place of encounter with God. It's the place of Moses bringing down the commands of God, the tablets and all that stuff. Of course, he broke them when he saw what was going on. So on the one hand, it's the place, the mountain is the place of encounter. Actually, there are three hands here. The next one has to do with the high mountains are the place where the Israelites sacrificed their children to Moloch. It's the place of idolatry. It's the place of self-worship, which is idolatry. It's the place of self-will, which is idolatry. And it's the place where Jesus is tempted to forego his mission. Okay? So what Jesus is doing is claiming the mountain, especially the high mountain, as God's. On this mount, it's the place too of healing. On this mountain, God will provide a rich feast. This is a reading often done at funerals, Isaiah 25. On this mountain, God will destroy the veil that veils all people, will destroy death forever. So the mountain that he takes them is a complicated place. And what he does is he takes complicated people to the mountain. Now, think about this. We got Peter, James, and John. Three of the four who were first called, right? What happened to Andrew? I have no idea. He drops out. Kind of lose sight of him. But we don't lose sight of these three. And this is the case. They're the case. We're the case. Here's a new read for this for me. He brings up the three with whom there's the most sibling rivalry. My interpretation now is they're vying for ascendancy. They want to be in charge. So first of all, immediately before this episode in chapter 17, Jesus is going along, and at Caesarea Philippi, he invites them to say, okay, who do people say that I am? Peter says, you are Christ, the Son of God. Jesus says, oy vey, this is great news. Peter, on this rock I will build my church. So Peter's up there. And then the next thing, he says, I have to suffer. So we see on this mountain, a perfect mountain, this stained glass window over here, it's about Moses and Elijah with Jesus in the Transfiguration. Y'all got to check it out on your way out. Peter, James, and John are just not blank slates. They're not simply people who are, they're not saints yet by any means. So immediately after this, he says, the Son of Man is going to be rejected, suffer, die, and be raised on the third day. And Peter says, don't even think about that. And Jesus puts him in his place. Get behind me, Satan. Behind me is where disciples belong. Because Peter, like the tempter on the mountain, is tempting Jesus to forego his mission. Okay, so they're up on the mountain where Peter, James, and John belong. After this episode, a couple chapters, few chapters, the mother of James and John comes up to Jesus and says, I want my boys to be number one and two, to sit on your left and right in this kingdom. Well, the other 10 get all upset. So these three, seems to me, have the most self-will, or represent our self-idolatry. Who's the best? Who's most important? Who's the better scholar, athlete, storyteller? Who's the best? Who's the most good-looking? Who's the, you know, favored one? We all deal with that. So we're on the mountain too. And he brings them to the place where they sacrifice others to their emptiness, to their vanity, to their need for power. And this is the mountain where, what is it? Death will be destroyed forever. And this is the mountain where the healing happens. And that's why he brought them there, I believe, to teach them. And what does the voice from heaven say? Listen to him. Listen to him. The Son of Man will be rejected by the chief priests and elders. If you wish to follow me, take up your cross. Deny yourself if you would have life. Things like that. Father's saying, you know, this is what it's about, not what you're doing. Last thing. Why would they go to the mountain? And why do we need to go to the mountain today? Aren't you and me our city, our state, our nation, our world? Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the mountain, shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. They're up there to be taught. Listen to him. Now, last thing. What we do at the Eucharistic prayer is give thanks to God who opens for us a path in our vanity, in our self-will and will to power, and all that stuff we do to fill our emptiness. God opens a way and situates us within all that stuff in our lives that's so painful that we keep going to the mountain to sacrifice others, make others pay the price for our self-will. And in that place, we give thanks and praise, like Peter, James, and John were called to do. Not as, you know, hey, everything is beautiful in its own way. They are God's creation. They are Jesus' brothers. And we give thanks to God as the wounded people we are. On the mountain, where it all is transformed. Let us pray for that grace today to listen.